In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out at the Kia Studios on this Wednesday with you. We're going to be here for the full four. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone, take your Alexa speakers. You can take your tablet, you can take your Light Bright, your Swatch Watch, your Boombox, whatever your device is. Just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I'm at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show, as always, on the other side of the glass, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Well, it was a clean sweep again for the Atlanta Braves as they sweep the Twins right out of town. And, this was a team that was in first place. Now, albeit their record has not been that stellar, 40-42 now on the season, 17-23 on the road now. But still, they were a first-place team, right? I mean, you know, that division feels like nobody wants to win that division, the NL Central. But, you know, they were a first-place team, and the Braves just disposed of them like, just, you know, get out of here, kid. You know, after a really good series win against the Reds over the weekend, now you come in and sweep the Twins out of town. We're going to talk about July's schedule because we're going to look ahead to July, because right now the Braves, Day-Day, have you seen that, what are they, 20-4 for the month of June? I believe it's 20-4 this month. Let me ask you a question, Day-Day. Was anybody talking in May about moving month, last place teams, a chance to widen the gap in the division? Was anybody in Atlanta talking about all of that kind of stuff?
What was that guy's name? And it's 20-4. He was like a rattlesnake or something like that.
Yeah. Well, again, rattlesnakes don't make good pets. Always remember that. So, yeah, again, we were all over this, and everything we predicted happened. You know, right now, where the Braves are, and by the way, first of all, let's talk about today for just a second. Ronnie steals another base. Olsen hits another homer. Ho-hum. They just keep on rolling, you know, with their offense. But Coby Allard was outstanding today. 4 2/3, 3 hits, 8 strikeouts on 71 pitches. Unfortunately, he could not get that, you know, that last out of the fifth inning. But Kirby Yates picks up the win. Kind of, you know how, what do they talk about? In fantasy football, you get the, what is it? When the backup scores the touchdown, they're not junk touchdowns, but what's the term?
I know what you mean. I don't know what it's called, but I know what I've heard.
Yeah,
it before. I've heard it referenced before.
When the guy, the starter gets you all the way downfield, and then he's not the one who ends up scoring the touchdown, right? So that's kind of what Kirby Yates did today. He's had a win and a save in the last, what, week here? After not picking up his save since 2020, it's remarkable. So, I mean, he's doing some good things for this team. Minter, Jimenez, and Iglesias closes it out, and the Braves sweep the Twins out of town. Now, Braves, as Day-Day said, 20-4 in the month of June. So right now, as of right now, and this could obviously change based on what happens tonight, okay? But the Braves are 7 games ahead of the Marlins, 11 games ahead of the Philadelphia Phillies, and 16.5 games up on the New York Mets. Anybody thinking that the New York Mets are going to make any kind of comeback? We'll talk about what their owner had to say a little bit later on in the show, specifically 8:40 tonight. Yeah, anybody thinking that the Mets are going to do anything? 16.5 games out. By the way, they're only 4.5 games out of last place. What a few drafts. The Mets are 36-43. The Cardinals are 33-45. The Padres are 37-42. The world is upside down right now. Because the teams that were supposed to be pretty good in the NL are stinking it up. I heard Steve Cohen talking about, they're in the wild card hunt. How'd that work out last year? How'd the wild card work out for the Mets last year? Oh, they got bombarded by the Padres? Oh, okay. All right. So, anyway. So, Coby Allard was outstanding today. So, now the rumor and innuendo, as we like to say, is that Michael Soroka may be coming back up. Jared Schuster was optioned to Gwinnett today. And look, I don't want to read too much into this, but until they figure out a consistent fourth starter, they're going to continue to do this. Sharver will be up, and this guy will be up and down, and this guy will be sideways. I mean, they'll do that until they figure out at least their fourth starter. Because hard to get away with just 3 consistent guys that start every night, you know, when you don't have that extra. So, again, they will do this for as long as it takes to find somebody to just consistently give them, you know, innings and what have you. But, again, the rumor is that Michael Soroka will be up and he will make a start. And Coby Allard, I do believe, is going to make one more start, at least one more. I mean, again, we never know what's going to happen. But it does look like Coby Allard is probably going to make a start early part of next week. But the rumor is Michael Soroka will come back out, and we'll see. I mean, you know, look, biggest thing is I hope unless there's physically something wrong with Michael Soroka, unless you tell me physically he can't pitch or do something, there's no reason to send him back down. There's no reason to just let him work things out in Gwinnett. Like, at some point, we got to just roll the dice and say, okay, you're up here with the big club, let's go. may not get back to the form that he was, you know, a handful of years ago, but what else are you going to do in Gwinnett? I mean, unless you have some serious mechanical flaws, what else are you going to do in Gwinnett? You're not going to get better. Stay up here. Again, they're not desperate right now for starting pitching. Got a 7-game, 11-game, 16.5-game lead over their division mates. No need to panic. You know, again, let Soroka come up, throw some innings, do some things up here. But, again, I don't want to see them send him down and we play this, you know, we do this thing again where, you know, this has been the mantra over the last handful of years is just, you know, that Partridge Family bus that goes from, they have a direct line from Buford to Smyrna. They got that direct line, like a MARTA train humming through. They've got the Partridge Family bus that just drops one guy off here, puts another guy over here. You know, this guy's sent back. This guy's called up. So they got that Partridge Family bus. I hope that thing is all natural gas. I hope the thing is not the diesel smoke that, you know, Day-Day, those buses with the big diesel smoke that blast out behind, you know, the bus and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, pollutes, you know, the entire... I mean, it basically pollutes the entire atmosphere because it feels like the sky is going to fall with all that just massive gunk that's coming out of these, you know, these buses and stuff. But, again, just keep him up here and let him work through his flaws. You're not in desperate times. You know, this year is not coming back from 10 games down to catch the mutts. The Braves are the hunted. They don't have to be hunter. They can just do what they do, but they're not 10 games behind like they were at this point last year, whatever the record was. Again, I don't know. It was 8, 9, whatever it is. But they're not struggling to find ways to win ball games. The Mets are not doing anything. The Phillies are not doing anything. I mean, the Marlins are a cute story. If the Marlins were a Benny Hill character, the Marlins would be the old guy that Benny Hill when remember he used to did you ever see the Benny Hill show?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Remember that old guy, that bald-headed guy where he would just like tap him on his head? Bup, 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 bup. Okay. That's us to the NL East. The Mutts and the full doleful Phillies and you know, whatever the fish bait down there, sushi. And by the way, Miami will come in here starting tomorrow night. Braves with an off day today, coming in tomorrow night. And again, you know, let's see if it is Michael Soroka. I just want somebody to stabilize that fourth spot in the rotation. I'm not saying they got to be outstanding or this, that, and the other. I'm talking about just give me the ability to pitch the same guy every fourth start day. That's all I want. Then if we have to mix in rookies, a bullpen game here, then you got a lot more flexibility. But it's tougher to do with two spots that are open. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Obviously, we'll have all the coverage for you, and we'll keep up to date about everything that that goes on. Did you see that Victor Wembanyama officially weighed in, I guess is what it is. He's officially 7'3" and a half. 7'3" and a half. By the way, they say that was measured without shoes per NBA guidelines. So they say it's a half inch. That's a half inch taller than Wembanyama said he was in October when he was in Vegas for two exhibition games. And again, now that he's turned 19, think about that. 18, and then now he's officially 19. He's not even done growing yet.
I was about to say, he can still grow, technically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not even done growing yet. It's crazy to think. The 7'3" and a half figure puts Wembanyama on pace to break the NBA's second tallest player this coming season. Officially, the NBA listed Boban. Remember, he's in the State Farm commercials and all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever his last name is. At 7'4" this past season, making him the league's tallest player. Kristaps Porzingis for the Wizards, now since traded to the Celtics, was listed at 7'3". So this makes him the second tallest player in the NBA by a half an inch. And brother, I mean, you know, like all guys, I would say it was by 7 inches, but that's another story for another day. Anyway, I mean, height, we're talking about height, right? I mean, if we're kind of fudging on our height and stuff. Nothing? Oh, okay. Anyway. All right, let's take a look at what the Braves have up in front of them in July. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contrast. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Wednesday evening. 404-726-0929, that's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Talk some Falcons foosball with him. But, Day-Day, I don't know, was anybody talking about the month of June a few weeks ago, well, actually back in May, about what the Braves could do or anything like that?
Yeah, there was one guy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm trying to remember who that was. But, you know, let's be fair. Everything we said came out true. Braves would be up double digits in the division. By the time the weekend is over, I mean, who knows? They could be almost double digits over everybody in the division, right? I mean, if they if the Marlins lose and the Braves win all three of these games, that'll put them double digits up over Florida, Miami, or sorry, Florida, Philadelphia, and the Mets. That would be pretty good, right? Come July 1st to be, you know, double digit games up. So when you look at the month of July for this team, you know, it's really a mixed bag because you do have some good teams, okay? I mean, obviously, first and foremost, I think the best team that they'll play in the month of July, or, yeah, July, and this isn't saying a whole lot, but the Tampa Bay Rays, like, that's the best team. That's been arguably, along with the Atlanta Braves, the two best teams in Major League Baseball. And that series is going to happen down in Tampa. And I would say that I don't want to put words in people's mouth. This will be the series of the year in the first half so far. Like, this will be the closest thing to a true World Series preview that we will have in the first half of the season, more than any other two teams you can partner up. More than any two teams you can partner up. This is World Series preview. The Braves going down to Tampa July 7th, 8th, and 9th. So we get back from the holiday and all that good stuff. Then that weekend, they head down to Tampa. That's going to be a great series. And I don't care what the results are. I don't care if the Braves win all three, lose all three, split, whatever. It doesn't really matter. I'm not so much worried about the results right now in a series like this. I just want to see the spectacle of it, just those two franchises getting together, and should be some outstanding baseball. But, you know, again, when you look, the Arizona Diamondbacks have the most wins of any team that they will play in the month of July, right? I mean, Arizona's been really one of the true surprises in all of Major League Baseball, leading the Dodgers the way that they have. But you look at, like I said, when I'd say it's a mixed bag, you got Arizona. Although you play Arizona at home, you don't have to go out west to play Arizona. You've got the White Sox, who are not very good. They're a fourth-place team. You've got the Red Sox, who are last place. The most intriguing series, I think, is the California Angels with Gene Autry, the singing cowboy. The California Angels coming at the very, very end of the month, and really, you know, more to August. But it's a really mixed bag where, again, this feels like another month where the Braves can make some hay. Yeah, Milwaukee's been okay. You know, they've been okay. Braves will play Miami, Cleveland, Tampa, the White Sox, Arizona, Milwaukee, Boston, and Milwaukee again, basically to end out the month. I mean, Sunday, July 30th, there's only one more day, and that's the day that they play the Angels on Monday the 31st. But again, it should be line itself up to be, you know, a pretty good month for the Braves in July. But that series, I think, with Tampa Bay, that really is a World Series kind of preview. And I am a little bit surprised that that the only game that I guess is, well, I guess national, if you want to call it that. I mean, I think every game is national nowadays. But Tampa Bay and the Braves playing on Saturday on Fox. So that's their national game night of the week or what have you. But I'm surprised that Friday isn't, and I don't know, is I guess maybe it could be that Apple TV type of deal. But Sunday, you would think that that would be a game where, especially if the series is tied, maybe the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, they can flex those games, right? The Sunday Night Baseball games, they can flex those games if need be, right?
I think they can. Yeah.
I think they can flex. So that would be a certainly a candidate for a flex, and especially if it's, you know, tied 1-1 in the series. But, you know, again, it's not a gauntlet like in the first couple of months of the season. Doesn't feel like that same kind of gauntlet. Yes, Arizona's a good team, but again, you know, we handle our business against Arizona. Tampa's the best team, you know, record-wise, I believe, in baseball. Let me see about that. Hold on. Tampa's at 54. Yeah, Braves are at 53. So Tampa's got the best record in Major League Baseball at 54-28. They've been outstanding at home. Braves are going to have their hands full when they go down to Tampa. 34-10 on the season for Tampa at home. 34-10. Is that good, Day-Day? Does that sound like a pretty good record?
That sounds pretty darn good.
All right. So, you know, again, it should be a month that you might pick up a few more games in the standings. I don't think the Braves are going to get into any kind of funk. I know that. I don't see how that they could get themselves into any kind of extended funk with the way that this offense plays and the pitching that they're getting. And not just, you know, four starters and, you know, guy at the back end. They're getting contributions from everybody on this roster. Everybody. It's not just Strider and Elder. You know, they're getting contributions from J.J. Smith-Shawver. What's his name? The guy that just sent down. Schuster has done some good things, right? I mean, they're getting contributions from all over the place. And, you know, again, that's why I don't think that they're going to go on any kind of extended losing streak. Their offense is so deep. Their offense is so good. They have just enough quality starting pitching that they don't have to worry about some of these things. You know, I mean, again, it's been devastating injuries for us as Braves fans, but they've been able to overcome all of it. I mean, literally, they've overcome it and expanded their lead. And the Braves have the biggest lead of anybody in the division. The Reds are up a half a game on the Brewers. The Diamondbacks are 2.5 up on the Giants. Rangers are 5 up on the Angels. Minnesota and Cleveland have basically a virtual tie with the Tigers in third. And then Baltimore's 4 games back of Tampa in the East. So the Braves have gone out and built the largest lead of any divisional, you know, contender leader right now. And that's a true testament to how good their roster is, how deep their roster is, even with the injuries and such that they have suffered for it. So I like my chances in the month of May, or sorry, in the month of July. And obviously that this team is now on a roll, right? Like they feel like they're on their roll and they feel like they're invincible, right? And this end of the, early, right after the July 4th holiday, this could be a World Series preview. Could be a World Series preview. At Tampa Bay, Braves at Tampa Bay. Test them out on the road. Test them out against a really good team. But, again, the Braves have nothing to fear in a situation like this. They can dominate and hang with the Tampa Bay Rays just as well as anybody. So, but I expect them to continue to increase this lead when you look at what the schedule says for the month of July. And we were all over it, Day-Day. We were all over it. It was going to be moving day. They were going to expand the lead. They could really get themselves out in front, and now it's all come to fruition. Now it's come to fruition that, you know, again, take care of your business against the Marlins this weekend. When I tell you that division is over, that division is really on the cusp of being over. This could be a scenario where it's the mathematics say one thing, right? Like the math says, okay, this team is still in it or what have you, but the reality is that the Braves are just getting too far out in front. And Steve Cohen even said so. You know, we'll talk about that, you know, coming up at What's Bugging Chuckery, but even he kind of said so. That this thing's starting to get away, and if it doesn't get a whole lot better, they're going to start making decisions on all this. They're going to start making business decisions because their payroll is stupid. 360, 360 and a half? Payroll's too stupid. You're not, again, you can't keep a lot of these guys for long term and all this, that, and the other. Well, I guess he can. He's got gazillions in the bank or whatever like that. But, you know, again, if you're trying to build a winner – and you keep trotting out the same guys and they don't do anything for you, okay, you can have cheap guys do that. If they're not going to win you anything or get you anywhere, you know, in the playoffs or advance or anything, heck, you could have rookies do that. You can have all the rookies that just go out there and do their thing and be a lot less money for all of it. So anyway, but should feel good about the Braves. And we'll kind of look at the first half of the season here. Because again, they are what is their official record? 53-27 right now. So we got one more game tomorrow night against the Marlins, and then we'll officially be, as we come into Saturday, at the halfway point of the season. And the Braves are, 26 games up above 500? I'm not even sure if anybody saw this part of it coming. Knew the Braves would be good and knew the Braves would win a division. That's not really a surprise. But to be 53-27, you're talking about a 100-plus win team. You're talking about, on pace for, 106 to 108 wins? If they win tomorrow and they go 54-27 at the halfway point, talking about a 108-win team? That's pretty staggering. I mean, that, and again, it speaks to the depth of their offense, speaks to how good their pitching has been. Everything has kind of clicked, for this team. So we'll see what happens here. But the Braves do take on the Marlins coming up tomorrow night. They will have the red uniforms on, the home alternatives, and they'll be in the Reds. And I believe Saturday is going to be the throwback deals.
Yeah, what was Saturday is supposed to be the city
uniform. Yeah. The city connector or whatever, like that uniform. Same thing the Hawks had, right? The city
connector. Yeah, exactly, uniform. Yep.
So should be exciting, but I'm really looking forward to, as we head in the month of July, to see that Tampa Bay Rays-Atlanta Braves series. Hopefully everybody's healthy and ready to go when that series happens, that they can hook up and have a lot of fun, in a regular season baseball game. You don't always get tons of fun moments, but this could be a fun series between the Braves and the Tampa Bay Rays. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter, beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, covering the Atlanta Hawks. His thoughts about where we're at as we head into – oh, sorry, for Falcons. His thoughts about where we're headed as we're a month away from training camp. I believe his training camp's in a month from yesterday or today. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we're about a month away from training camp opening up. We'll obviously have all of the best training camp coverage. Andy and Randy, the Morning Shaft, Chop House, whatever. What is it called? The Chuck House. Yeah, sorry, it's the Chuck House. They will all be up in Flowery Branch. And then Mike Bell and Carl Dukes and Bell, they will be at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. So they were up there last year, and they had such a good time. And surprisingly, nobody got arrested, and they invited them back. So it's all good. So Dukes and Bell will be at the Hooters up there at the Mall of Georgia. Day-Day and I will be manning the ship from here, obviously, because we don't want to go to Flowery Branch, so no thanks. Anyway, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to the man that will be in Flowery Branch come next month and obviously covers the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. It is D. Orlando Ledbetter, our friend of the show. D. Led, as always, buddy. Appreciate a few minutes here. Much like the players, are you staying out of trouble in this in-between time from mandatory mini and training camp? Are you staying out of trouble yourself?
Yes, very much so, John. Went on a cruise and then went to Winston-Salem to pick up the Sports Writer of the Year award, and now relaxing, back with some friends, watching some TV here. We watching D Wade interview with Shannon Sharpe and D Wade and Michael Vick, just kind of kicking back.
Now, do we have to change your first name to award-winning journalist, you know, D. Orlando Ledbetter? Does your first name change with this award that you won, or how does that work?
No, it doesn't work. We don't do it for awards. It's great to be recognized by your peers, no question about it. And thanks to Wes Dorm, one of the board members at the National Sports Media Association. I don't know if he voted for me, but I'm sure, had something to do with it.
Well, that's fantastic. Congratulations to you, D-Led. Well, first question, speaking of promotions and all these good kinds of things, you know, D-Led, I'm not that excited about Ryan Pace's promotion, now the director of player personnel. I like Keith Smith, and I think that was a good promotion for him. But what did you kind of think about some of these moves that the Falcons have made in their front office, elevating some people?
Yeah, Kyle Smith, he's his dad was A.J. Smith. He was a longtime general manager of the San Diego Chargers. Him and Martin Schottenheimer used to go head-to-head back in the day, according to Thomas Dimitroff. So good for Kyle, good guy. Ryan Pace was, with the Saints, and Terry Fontenot worked for him. So, you know, he's going to hire people that he trusts. But Ryan was the guy who took Mitch Trubisky over Pat Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson. So don't need him in the room when they're drafting a quarterback if they have to do another quarterback draft. But he did build a team around Trubisky that went to the playoffs, went 12-4. He went to the Pro Bowl. But, yeah, he's a good football man, so you got to respect that.
D-Led, I'm going to ask the audience a little bit later on in the show about Arthur Smith. Where do you think Arthur Smith ranks among NFL head coaches? Like, roughly about where would you put Arthur Smith as far as NFL head coaches?
I've been impressed with Arthur Smith in the first 2 years here, that he's done a lot with not very much. The fact that, you know, they won 7 games, in the first year and the second year with teams that probably should have won 3 or 4 games, probably cost him some draft capital, but he's got his teams prepared. They play smart football. They play hard. And now I just want to see what he does with some talent.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that there is a lot of excitement. I think fans are excited about the idea of, because I agree with you. I mean, I think Arthur Smith has done a magnificent job given the roster limitations that he's had to work with. And now it feels like, okay, you know, now that we're getting our pieces in place, you know, and we can see kind of, you know, the potential of what this offense is going to be. And it does feel like with the personnel that we have, I mean, I'm not saying we can be the best offense in the NFL, but we can certainly be a top flight red zone offense. We can be certainly one of the, you know, one or two best rushing offenses, you know, as we were last year. I mean, there's still a lot of room for growth in this offense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, just beat the people you're supposed to beat. That's half of it in the NFL. They have the easiest schedule in the league. They only got 2 real games against the Vikings and the Jets. Team with winning records. You got Jacksonville, which went to the playoffs, got them in London. But, yeah, you need to dominate the NFC South. You need to dominate the Saints. You need to sweep them. You need to beat Carolina, which has got a lot of variables, too, and number one pick in the quarterback. You need to beat Tampa Bay when they're down. So win the NFC South, and let's start from there.
You know, I know, D-Led, you know, the narrative, obviously, when you know, Arthur Blank gets in front of the media and all this good stuff and talks to everybody and says, well, we want to see improvement and this, that, and the other. But do you think that there are tangible things that Arthur Blank has in mind for this team? I mean, you know, winning the NFC South or being a playoff team. I mean, do you think that there are any set goals that Arthur Blank has handed out to this regime to, you know, start to achieve this coming year?
Yeah, I think progress. I think progress is, in my mind, is winning. So he wants to win. You don't need to be in all these one-score games and kicking field goals from coup to win the game. You don't need to be falling down at the one-yard line. You need to go out and play good, sound football. Arthur Blank wants to see good, sound, quality football from Arthur Smith's teams. And, you know, everything's set up for them to do it. They've got a lot of variables here. They drafted on offense for the last 3 years. They went against conventional wisdom and took the running back. Now let's see if the running back can make you a lot better football team. And go after people. Get some sacks. Stop some people. Those will be things that will get everybody excited about Atlanta Falcons football again.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, covering the Atlanta Falcons, joining me here on the WadeFor.com hotline. You know, I still think, D. Led, that my biggest fear or concern, or I still think it's still the weakest part is, you know, have we done enough to be able to sack the quarterback? And I know we've added pieces, but there's a also, you know, tied into this, a lot of wishful thinking. You know, hopefully Ebba Cady makes the jump. Hopefully Caden Ellis can build off his year last year. You know, hopefully's with this. Do you think that we've done enough to, you know, really improve our pass rush in I don't want to say just a little bit. I mean, in drastic ways.
No, I'm not sure if we're going to get that in drastic ways, but certainly a medium-level jump will be great. Calais Campbell, D'Angelo Malone, Lorenzo Carter, Anyamata with Grady. You got to get out of third and two. That's a losing proposition. They were playing bending but break defense for the last 2 years. And, you know, they held people to field goals and so forth and kept games close. Now, don't stop some people. You know, hit some people in the mouth. Go hit Derek Carr upside his head a couple times in the Saints game. You know, do what you got to do to make Bryce Young look like a rookie. Do what you got to do against Baker Mayfield, even though Baker's going to probably throw you the ball a couple times. So, yeah, the defense has got to stand up. That's going to be very key for the Falcons here. And I don't know if that's going to happen. But, you know, you got at least some people that have, you know, at least know their way to the quarterback. Anyamata, Calais Campbell. Can Ebba Cady get there? He had 11 hits last year. I need them hits to be sacks now. So same thing with Caden Ellis. Can he get to the quarterback, you know, as a you know, kind of gadget linebacker, which is what he did in New Orleans last year. So, yeah, get to the quarterback, stop some people, get third and six, third and five, get off the field. And, you know, then we'll have a defense that, you know, they can at least go and play and beat somebody. I'm tired of, you know, the one-score games and so forth. Get out of here with that. Beat somebody. lay your baseball bat or whatever down on the field and say, hey, we're going to take it to you for four quarters.
D-Led, based upon what you've both seen and heard, what's been your impressions of Desmond Ridder this offseason? What do you think about Desmond Ridder going, you know, obviously into the season as the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, he's a smart kid. He's going to manage the game. Can he do more than that? Okay. I think he's, you know, he saw at Cincinnati where he elevated a program that, you know, I remember back when Penn State beat him 81-0. You know, going back to Rick Minner, Mike Tomlin was a coach there. John Harbaugh was a special teams and wide receivers coach there. A lot of people went through Cincinnati. Luke Fickell got them to win, and they won with Desmond Ridder. Zach Taylor was there. So it's kind of a football. Tommy Tuberville was there for a minute. But just kind of a football, you know, kind of not SEC type of ground, but a lot of good football people have passed through there, but not a player that has gotten a lot of accolades like Desmond Ridder. I'm going back to Greg Cook. So can he do that? Can he at least manage your team and then make some plays to win some games for you? And that's the hope that the Falcons have for Desmond Ridder this year.
You know, D-Led, when we talk about, you know, breakout players and different things like that, and you and I have talked specifically about Ebba Cady, but, you know, again, I think A.J. Terrell has to have a good bounce back year. I'm anticipating that I think Jeff Okuda is going to, you know, have a breakout kind of year himself. I mean, look, he's playing for a contract, right? I mean, so usually that's a motivator for guys. I definitely think that this secondary is the most improved unit that we have. But, again, you know, A.J.'s got to play better this year. Jeff Okuda's got to have a good year where he's healthy and has a breakout year. I think that the upside is really high for this unit, and especially when you factor in Jerry Gray with it as well. I'm very intrigued to see how Jerry Gray works with this secondary and gets guys to improve.
Yeah, no doubt he's done a great job in Minnesota and Green Bay, where he's been, and the fact that he was a cornerback himself. You know, hey, what if it doesn't work with Jeff Okuda? What if you got to put Mikey Hughes out there? You know, what if Clark Phillips has got to play a lot? Teddy Savage, Darren Hall. You're going to need cornerbacks. He's got to save the cornerbacks. So, you know, Okuda's certainly, you know, the biggest project that they have. A.J. played pretty good other than inside the 20 where he gave up like 6 touchdowns last year. So A.J.'s, you know, a guy that you could, you know, match with some receivers. But, you know, inside the 20, he had some problems last year. So fix those. Save Okuda. If you can't save him, save Darren Hall. Can't save him, get Mike Hughes to play. If you can't save him, you know, then you got the Clark Phillips kid. So you got some options. And Falcons haven't had those options in the first 2 years of the Arthur Smith, Terry Fontenot administration.
Last question for you, D-Led. I mean, how confident are you about some of the interior offensive line? I mean, obviously, you know, as of now, and certainly things can change, but, you know, we're looking at playing a guy that's a converted tackle at left guard, and we're looking at playing a young center. The last time we did that, that blew up in our face. I mean, that the last time we did all that, it was a complete disaster. Do you feel more confident in, you know, having Bergeron at left guard, Dahlman at center? I mean, do you feel like they can get the job done with the two of those guys together?
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we're about a month away from training camp opening up. We'll obviously have all of the best training camp coverage. Andy and Randy, the Morning Shaft, Chop House, whatever. What is it called? The Chuck House. Yeah, sorry, it's the Chuck House. They will all be up in Flowery Branch. And then Mike Bell and Carl Dukes and Bell, they will be at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. So they were up there last year, and they had such a good time. And surprisingly, nobody got arrested, and they invited them back. So it's all good. So Dukes and Bell will be at the Hooters up there at the Mall of Georgia. Day-Day and I will be manning the ship from here, obviously, because we don't want to go to Flowery Branch, so no thanks. Anyway, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to the man that will be in Flowery Branch come next month and obviously covers the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. It is D. Orlando Ledbetter, our friend of the show. D. Led, as always, buddy. Appreciate a few minutes here. You know, much like the players, are you staying out of trouble in this in-between time from mandatory mini and training camp? Are you staying out of trouble yourself?
Yes, very much so, John. Went on a cruise and then went to Winston-Salem to pick up the Sports Writer of the Year award, and now relaxing, back with some friends, watching some TV here. We watching D Wade interview with Shannon Sharp and D Wade and Michael Vick, just kind of kicking back.
Now, do we have to change your first name to award-winning journalist, you know, D Orlando Ledbetter? Does your first name change with this award that you won, or how does that work?
No, it doesn't work. We don't do it for awards. It's great to be recognized by your peers. No question about it. And thanks to Wes Dorm, one of the board members at the National Sports Media Association. I don't know if he voted for me, but I'm sure had something to do with it.
Well, that's fantastic. Congratulations to you, D. Led. Well, first question, speaking of promotions and all these good kinds of things, you know, D-Led, I'm not that excited about Ryan Pace's promotion, now the director of player personnel. I like Keith Smith, and I think that was a good promotion for him. But what did you kind of think about some of these moves that the Falcons have made in their front office, elevating some people?
Yeah, Kyle Smith, he's his dad was A.J. Smith. He was a longtime general manager of the San Diego Chargers. Him and Martin Schottenheimer used to go head-to-head back in the day, according to Thomas Dimitroff. So good for Kyle. Good guy. Ryan Pace was, with the Saints, and Terry Fontenot worked for him. So, you know, he's going to hire people that he trusts. But Ryan was the guy who took Mitch Trubisky over Pat Mahomes. So, and Deshaun Watson. So, don't need him in the room when they're drafting a quarterback if they have to do another quarterback draft. But he did build a team around Trubisky that went to the playoffs, went 12-4. He went to the Pro Bowl. But, yeah, he's a good football man, so you got to respect that.
D-Led, I'm going to ask the audience a little bit later on in the show about Arthur Smith. Where do you think Arthur Smith ranks among NFL head coaches? Like, roughly about where would you put Arthur Smith as far as NFL head coaches?
I've been impressed with Arthur Smith in the first 2 years here, that he's done a lot with not very much. The fact that, you know, they won 7 games in the first year, and the second year with teams that probably should have won 3 or 4 games, probably cost him some draft capital, but he's got his teams prepared. They play smart football. They play hard. And now I just want to see what he does with some talent.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that there is a lot of excitement. I think fans are excited about the idea of, because I agree with you. I mean, I think Arthur Smith has done a magnificent job given the roster limitations that he's had to work with. And now it feels like, okay, you know, now that we're getting our pieces in place, you know, and we can see kind of, you know, the potential of what this offense is going to be. And it does feel like with the personnel that we have, I mean, I'm not saying we can be the best offense in the NFL, but we can certainly be a top flight red zone offense. We can be certainly one of the, you know, one or two best rushing offenses, you know, as we were last year. I mean, there's still a lot of room for growth in this offense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, just beat the people you're supposed to beat. That's half of it in the NFL. They have the easiest schedule in the league. They only got two real games against the Vikings and the Jets. Team with winning records. You got Jacksonville, which went to the playoffs, got them in London. But, yeah, you need to dominate the NFC South. You need to dominate the Saints. You need to sweep them. You need to beat Carolina, which has got a lot of variables, too, and number one pick in the quarterback. You need to beat Tampa Bay when they're down. So win the NFC South, and let's start from there.
You know, I know D-Led, you know, the narrative, obviously when you know, Arthur Blank gets in front of the media and all this good stuff and talks to everybody and says, well, we want to see improvement and this, that, and the other. But do you think that there are tangible things that Arthur Blank has in mind for this team? I mean, you know, winning the NFC South or being a playoff team. I mean, do you think that there are any set goals that Arthur Blank has handed out to this regime to, you know, start to achieve this coming year?
Yeah, I think progress. I think progress is, in my mind, is winning. So he wants to win. You don't need to be in all these one-score games and kicking field goals from coup to win the game. You don't need to be falling down at the one-yard line. You need to go out and play good, sound football. Arthur Blank wants to see good, sound, quality football from Arthur Smith's teams. And, you know, everything's set up for them to do it. They've got a lot of variables here. They drafted on offense for the last 3 years. They went against conventional wisdom and took the running back. Now let's see if the running back can make you a lot better football team. And go after people, get some sacks, stop some people. Those will be things that will get everybody excited about Atlanta Falcons football again.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, covering the Atlanta Falcons, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, I still think, D. Led, that my biggest fear or concern, or I still think it's still the weakest part is, you know, have we done enough to be able to sack the quarterback? And I know we've added pieces, but there's a also, you know, tied into this, a lot of wishful thinking. You know, hopefully Ebba Cady makes the jump. Hopefully Caden Ellis can build off his year last year. You know, hopefully's with this. Do you think that we've done enough to, you know, really improve our pass rush in I don't want to say just a little bit. I mean, in drastic ways.
No, I'm not sure if we're going to get that in drastic ways, but certainly a medium-level jump will be great. Calais Campbell, D'Angelo Malone, Lorenzo Carter, Anyamata with Grady. You got to get out of third and two. That's a losing proposition. They were playing bending but break defense for the last 2 years. And, you know, they held people to field goals and so forth and kept games close. Now, don't stop some people. You know, hit some people in the mouth. Go hit Derek Carr pat his head a couple times in the Saints game. You know, do what you got to do to make Bryce Young look like a rookie. Do what you got to do against Baker Mayfield, even though Baker's going to probably throw you the ball a couple times. So, yeah, the defense has got to stand up. That's going to be very key for the Falcons here. And I don't know if that's going to happen. But, you know, you got at least some people that have – you know, at least know their way to the quarterback, Anyamata, Calais Campbell. Can they, Ebba Cady get there? He had 11 hits last year. I need them hits to be sacks now. So same thing with Caden Ellis. Can he get to the quarterback you know, as a you know, kind of gadget linebacker, which is what he did in New Orleans last year. So yeah, get to the quarterback, stop some people, get 3rd and 6, 3rd and 5, get off the field, and you know, then we'll have a defense that you know, they can at least go and play and beat somebody. I'm tired of, you know, the one score games and so forth. Get out of here with that. Beat somebody. Lay your baseball bat or whatever down on the field and said, hey, we're going to take it to you for 4 quarters.
D-Led, based upon what you've both seen and heard, what's been your impressions of Desmond Ridder this offseason? What do you think about Desmond Ridder going, you know, obviously into the season as the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, he's a smart kid. He's going to manage the game. Can he do more than that? Okay. I think he's, you know, he saw at Cincinnati where he elevated a program that, you know, I remember back when Penn State beat him 81-0. You know, going back to Rick Minner, Mike Tomlin was a coach there. John Harbaugh was a special teams and wide receivers coach there. A lot of people went through Cincinnati. Luke Fickell got them to win, and they won with Desmond Ridder. Zach Taylor was there. So it's kind of a football. Tommy Tuberville was there for a minute. But just kind of a football, you know, kind of not SEC type of ground, but a lot of good football people have passed through there, but not a player that has gotten a lot of accolades like Desmond Ridder. I'm going back to Greg Cook. So can he do that? Can he at least manage your team and then make some plays to win some games for you? And that's the hope that the Falcons have for Desmond Ridder this year.
You know, D-Led, when we talk about, you know, breakout players and different things like that, and you and I have talked specifically about Ebba Cady, but, you know, again, I think A.J. Terrell has to have a good bounce-back year. I'm anticipating that I think Jeff Okuda is going to, you know, have a breakout kind of year himself. I mean, look, he's playing for a contract, right? I mean, so usually that's a motivator for guys. I definitely think that this secondary is the most improved unit that we have. But, again, you know, A.J.'s got to play better this year. Jeff Okuda's got to have a good year where he's healthy and has a breakout year. I think that the upside is really high for this unit, and especially when you factor in Jerry Gray with it as well. I'm very intrigued to see how Jerry Gray works with this secondary and gets guys to improve.
Yeah, no doubt he's done a great job at Minnesota and Green Bay, where he's been, and the fact that he was a cornerback himself. You know, hey, what if it doesn't work with Jeff Okuda? What if you got to put Mikey Hughes out there? You know, what if Clark Phillips has got to play a lot? Kenny Savage, Darren Hall. You're going to need cornerbacks. He's got to save the cornerbacks. So, you know, Okuda's certainly – you know, the biggest project that they have. AJ played pretty good other than inside the 20 where he gave up like 6 touchdowns last year. So AJ's you know, a guy that you could, you know, match with some receivers, but you know, inside the 20 he had some problems last year. So fix those. Save Okuda. If you can't save him, save Darren Hall. Can't save him, get Mike Hughes to play. If you can't save him, you know, then you got the Clark Phillips kid. So you got some options. And Falcons haven't had those options in the first 2 years of the Arthur Smith, Terry Fontenot administration.
Last question for you, D-Led. I mean, how confident are you about some of the interior offensive line? I mean, obviously, you know, as of now, and certainly things can change, but, you know, we're looking at playing a guy that's a converted tackle at left guard, and we're looking at playing a young center. The last time we did that, that blew up in our face. I mean, that the last time we did all that, it was a complete disaster. Do you feel more confident in, you know, having Bergeron at left guard, Dahlman at center? I mean, do you feel like they can get the job done with the two of those guys together?
Well, I think the fact that the coach is an offensive lineman, he played at North Carolina, that he can, you know, him and Coach Leffert can get him to play. They thought Dahlman was a steal in the 4th round. They had a 2nd-round grade on him. I didn't see it last year, but I didn't see Wes Schweitzer either. And Wes Schweitzer's going on to play with Washington and be a salvageable pro. Bergeron's running with the third team right now. So you're talking about Matt Hennessy maybe starting out and then passing the torch there. But I think with a coach that is a former offensive lineman, and he's got a good coach. Dwayne Leffert was a good coach at North Carolina State, and he's done a great job run blocking with these guys last year. I'm thinking that's the one place where you got to coach him up. When Mike Smith was the coach, you know, they tried to coach up the linebackers where they didn't draft as many linebackers. They thought they could find them, and him and Coach Nolan didn't get that done. So, you know, Arthur Smith and Dwayne Leffert's got to get this line fixed. And whether it's Bergeron, Matt Hennessy, Dillon, somebody's got to step up in the interior to make this pocket firm and make it a good run line that they can throw some play action off of. Because otherwise, Desmond Ridder can't drop back and throw 30 times a game. You got to run the ball. You got to be able to be some play action. You know, run out of the pistol, run out of whatever you got to run out of. But you got to have some play action off of it. And the line's going to be key. And we're going to put that right on the foot of the head coach and his offensive line coach, Dwayne Leffert, to get this team moving in the right direction.
Well, D-Led, I know you will be front and center at the press conferences asking the first question, so we do count on you for all of that. He is the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at DOrlandoAJC, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. D-Led, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks much, and obviously we will chat again here soon.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me.
You got it. When we come back, from the top of the hour, more Falcons talk as it is the Falcons flyover. All your news and notes for the Atlanta Falcons today. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.